Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray. We have asked the intercession of Our Lady, of Saint Joseph, of our guardian angel, and today we can ask the assistance also of the Holy Spirit as we pray about his numerous roles in our life. And we can unite those numerous roles into three different groups. He is the sanctifier, he leads us into truth, and he gives us that great impetus to carry out the work of evangelization, of apostolate. And Lord, you are the one who gave us the Holy Spirit as a gift. You said to the apostles in the Last Supper, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And Lord, you have asked the Father, he has sent the Holy Spirit in that dramatic way on Pentecost, but you have sent the Holy Spirit to each one of us. We receive the Holy Spirit along with you and the Father in baptism. And the Holy Spirit along with you and the Father took up residence in our soul. Our soul was lit up. We became temples of the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Spirit dwells with us and is in us. He is that sweet guest of the soul, that great gift that you have given us, the third divine person dwelling in our soul, to sanctify us, to lead us into truth, to move us to carry out that great and important work of evangelization. First of all, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. He is Lord and giver of life, as we say in the Nicene Creed on Sundays. And sanctity is love. It's love for God lived out in doing God's will. And who can help us to love more than the Holy Spirit, who is the love between the Father and the Son? Love dwells within us, the love of God. St. Paul writes to the Romans in the 5th chapter, "God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." And Lord, you have given us love. You have given us the Holy Spirit. He has been poured into our hearts. And with that reception of the Holy Spirit, and you and the Father, starting in our baptism, and every time afterwards when we receive sanctifying grace, we have what we can call an ontological sanctity, essential sanctity. An infant recently baptized is the greatest of saints, filled with God's love and God's presence, who has not committed any personal sins. But we as adults do commit sins, and we strive to correspond to that essential sanctity which we have by our ethical sanctity, our effort to strive to love you more, to do your will, to avoid sins, and to come back to you in confession when we have failed. But the Holy Spirit is the great protagonist in this work of sanctification, giving us his very love poured out into our hearts. And we say in that prayer to the Holy Spirit, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, enkindle in them the fire of your love." And we can say, "Enkindle in me the fire of love. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be cold. I want to be on fire with love." And we will grow in love in those usual ways, spending time with you, praying, listening to you, receiving the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, where you live in us and we live in you, communion with you, and with you, Jesus, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, too. The three persons are always together. We grow in sanctity by receiving you in communion. Through our penance, where we purify our soul of all of those impurities, of sin, of selfishness, of pride, of self-indulgence. We need to clear away those rocks, those thistles, thorns, and weeds that otherwise overcome our soul, so that we can be free to love. And then the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray. Another great aspect of that role of sanctifying us. We open St. Paul's letter to the Romans to the 8th chapter. And here St. Paul reminds us of the important role of the Holy Spirit in helping us to pray. He says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And Lord, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but you have given us the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. And you know the mind of the Spirit. And we can ask the Holy Spirit every time we pray, every time we attend Mass, every time we do anything spiritual, "Help me. Teach me to pray. Put me in contact with God. Sanctify me, so that this prayer, this Mass, this spiritual reading or reading of Scripture may be truly inspired, helped by you, the Holy Spirit, in that great role of teaching us to pray." And the Holy Spirit not only helps us in those particular moments of prayer, but he gives us presence of God throughout the day. We would all like to be saying many aspirations. "Jesus, I love you. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you." But perhaps we say few, because we are really not in love. And Lord, St. Paul tells us, no one can say Jesus is Lord unless it be by the Holy Spirit. And we want to say, "Jesus, Lord, help me," many times a day. And so perhaps at the beginning of the day, we can ask the Holy Spirit, "Remind me, prompt me, help me to live in the presence of God, to be aware that God is always with me, that God dwells in my soul." And then help me to say those aspirations, "Jesus, I love you. Lord, thank you. You dwell in our soul, and help us to come to you, to remember you are there." St. Augustine writes in his Confessions, words that we can sympathize with so readily. "Lord, you were with me, but I was not with you." Lord, you are with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. You dwell in our soul. You are with me, but I was not with you and help me to be with you, to live that presence of God. And then another role in this work of sanctification, to remind us, to teach us that we are truly children of a loving Father God. And again, St. Paul writes in the 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans, "You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." And Lord, give us that deep sense of divine filiation. God is my Father. And there are times when we need this especially. Especially when we are suffering. We are going through difficult times. Life seems to be unraveling, falling apart. We don't know what is going to happen. It is then especially that we come before the Father, moved by the Holy Spirit, to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, you are my Father. I am in your hands. I abandon myself, my family, all of my concerns into your loving care. I don't know what's going to happen, but you do. I trust in you. That deep sense of divine filiation, of divine sonship. We are all children of God, sons and daughters of a loving Father. And the Holy Spirit especially helps us to realize this, to cry out, Abba, Father. And when we are suffering, and we need to suffer, as St. Paul writes to the Romans, we will be fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. We carry the cross with him, and at times God allows us to share in his cross. And when we do that, we find the Holy Spirit to be truly the comforter, to remind us that we are children of God, and what consolation, what comfort we receive. St. John of Avila says in a sermon, "The Holy Spirit is the comforter, and how well able he is to comfort. He is given that very name, the comforter. Whenever you are sad, be sure that the Holy Spirit will comfort you in your sorrow, if you have him in your soul." The Apostle St. Paul says this, "For if someone were to think, who could comfort such sadness as mine, such distress, who would come to my help? There is," and these are the words of St. Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians, "there is fighting without and fear within. He should remember that God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us." And St. John of Avila goes on, "The passion of the Holy Spirit is to comfort those who are in distress, to comfort everyone. Let us ask him to be good enough to come to our hearts and comfort us." And Lord, we will be down at times. We will feel sad. We will be going through difficult times. But we come to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and beg him, comfort me. Give me that consolation, that word paraclete that you used for the Holy Spirit, which means literally to call to one side. It's equivalent in Latin advocatus, we translate as advocate. And all of these words come back to the same thing. The Holy Spirit is at our side. We call him the paraclete, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter. Lord, remind us when we are suffering that the Holy Spirit is always with us. He is the great comforter. And then we come to that second role of the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth, and he leads us into the truth. Again, we go to your words in the Last Supper, the words we read before. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And then in the 16th chapter of St. John's Gospel, you say, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will guide you into all the truth. And we pray, enlighten my mind. And there are so many different situations in which we can ask the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truth. First of all, that we come to know ourselves, the truth about ourselves, that we not be deceived by the father of lies, to think that we are so good, so holy, so humble, so clever. Lord, help us to realize who we really are. The Holy Spirit will help us to do that. We are not as clever as we think. We are not as good and holy as we think. We are just poor sinners. Help us to be more like Our Lady, the handmaid of the Lord, in all of her humility. When we pray, when we examine our conscience, help us to see the truth about ourselves, and especially our weaknesses, so that we can struggle. And help us to see the truth about our good qualities too, but not to exaggerate them, as we tend to do in our pride. And then to lead us into the truth in our study, in our reading, in our professional work. There are so many aspects of these endeavors where sometimes we fall short. We don't understand something, whether it be some truth of the teachings of the church, whether it be some matter of study in the case of students or professional people. The understanding eludes us, and we ask the Holy Spirit through that gift of understanding, which applies especially to spiritual, theological truths, and the gift of knowledge, which applies especially to those more human truths. Send out your Spirit, enlighten my mind to understand the truth in these matters. And then to understand the truth about others. When we are trying to help someone, it could be our spouse, one of our children, a friend. We want to help that person, but we need to understand where that person is coming from, what they are really thinking, what they are going through. And we can ask the Holy Spirit, help me to understand this person, to come to a knowledge of what that person is going through in this moment, so that I can truly help him or her. And we ask for that gift of counsel, that when we are talking with someone else, that the Holy Spirit may move us to say what that other person needs to hear, and to move the other person to hear what they need to hear, and for them too to say what God wants them to say, so that we can come to an understanding. The Holy Spirit is the great ally, the great counselor. Through that gift of counsel in all of these conversations with others, we pray in that prayer to the Holy Spirit, O God, who has taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the gift of the same Spirit, we may always be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. To be truly wise, to come to understand God, all of the Church's teachings, to understand ourselves, to understand others, to be God's instrument in helping others. And when we are writing something, whether it be a letter, a report, an article, a book. We invoke the Holy Spirit, enlighten my mind to express what I want to write in a way that will be understood by the reader. So many different roles of the Holy Spirit in leading us into the truth. And then finally, that third great role of the Holy Spirit in moving us to carry out the Church's work of evangelization, of apostolate. Pope Francis is constantly exhorting us to bring the truth and the love of God into the lives of others, that we not be enclosed in ourselves. And in a sense, the apostles were enclosed in themselves in that upper room. They were praying, awaiting the coming of the Paraclete, praying with Mary, praying with the holy women. And then suddenly on that Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down in that dramatic way with the tongues of fire and the wind, and they were transformed. And instead of being enclosed in that upper room, they went out and they spoke and they preached to all the people in Jerusalem that had gathered there for that great Jewish feast of Pentecost. And 3,000 were converted. And Lord, transform me. Send out your Spirit into me, the Spirit of love, that I may be an apostle, that I may reach those people around me. And we ask for that gift of tongues that the Holy Spirit gave to the apostles on that Pentecost, the gift of tongues to enable understanding. The apostles didn't speak all those languages of the people that had come from all over the world to Jerusalem for the feast, but they all heard the apostles speaking in their own language. And even though we have the same language with the people that we are trying to help, there is a sense in which perhaps we do not reach that soul, that heart, because we are on a different wavelength. And when we are going to talk with someone, we ask the Holy Spirit, give me that gift of tongues that I can truly touch the heart, the soul of this person, that I can reach that person, that I can get through, that that person will understand me, and I will understand that person. Then we can have this new springtime in the Church, this new Pentecost that the popes have been constantly reminding us of and urging us to bring about, and it will come. It is coming, but it depends so much on each one of us that we not be passive members of the Church, going along to Mass on Sundays, being there, that we be active, that we be those apostles who go out to find others in our workplace, in our neighborhood, in our family, amongst our friends. Undoubtedly, we all have many people in our life who really don't know Jesus Christ, who maybe were practicing their Catholic faith, but no longer do so. They need someone to help them, and that someone can be each one of us. They are like those paralytics beside the pool, with no one to help them into the water. And Lord, when you came upon that paralytic and you asked him if he wanted to be cured, he answered, "I have no one to help me." And Lord, there are so many people around us that have no one to help them. Someone to inspire them, someone to speak in a lively way about God, about goodness, about confession, about living in God's grace again, about prayer. No one to help them. And in so many cases, we are the one, we are the only one in their life in a position to help them. And Lord, help us to carry out that role of evangelization, of finding others, of bringing them to you, whether they are Catholics, whether they are non-Catholics. Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for truth and for happiness, and you are the answer to the search for truth, because you are the way, the truth, and the life, and you are the answer to happiness, because you are the infinite good who alone can satisfy. Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And everyone's heart is looking for you, whether they know it or not. We have found you, or better, you have found us. You have found me. As you said to the apostles in the Last Supper, it was not you that chose me, it was I that chose you. And the task I have appointed you is that you go out and bear fruit, fruit which will abide. The fruit of souls, the fruit of sanctity, which abides into eternal life. Lord, you need us. Other people need us. The church needs us to carry out this great work of evangelization, of bringing you into the lives of others, of bringing others to you. And help us in these three roles of the Holy Spirit, of sanctifying, of leading us into the truth, and of helping us to evangelize. Help us to be very docile to his promptings. The Holy Spirit sets up his school in our soul, trying to teach us. But sometimes we may turn a deaf ear. And in the letter to the Hebrews, in the third chapter, we read, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall never enter my rest." They were deaf to the promptings of God. They hardened their hearts. Lord, help me to be docile, to be open to the Holy Spirit. Saint Jose Maria, in 1934, prayed to the Holy Spirit, and he wrote down his prayer for our benefit. He said, "Come, O Holy Spirit, enlighten my mind to know your commands, strengthen my heart against the snares of the enemy, inflame my will. I have heard your voice, and I do not want to become hardened and resist, saying, later, tomorrow, nunc cepi, now, lest tomorrow not come for me. O Holy Spirit of truth, O Spirit of truth and of wisdom, Spirit of understanding and of counsel, Spirit of joy and of peace, I want what you want. I want because you want. I want as you want. I want when you want." Lord, help us to pray like Saint Jose Maria, so open to the Holy Spirit, to do whatever the Holy Spirit wants, not to become hardened and resist, to say, "Here I am, I come to do your will." And we go to Our Lady, so docile to the Holy Spirit who came upon her, and she conceived you, the Word, in her womb, in her heart, because she said yes. Mary, you who are spouse of the Holy Spirit, help us to be docile to the Holy Spirit as you were, so that we too can bring God into our lives and into the lives of others. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.